Welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics on KGO A10. The European Union is once again going after Silicon Valley's deep pockets. Host Jason Middleton looks at the $14 billion penalty Apple may have to pay for keeping its cash overseas. As for American taxpayers, is there a way to avoid another great recession or any other financial crisis? An Oxford author says there is a way forward for a safer financial world. Finally, this week we look at motherhood in Silicon Valley. Bottom line, a uterus is a feature, not a bug. Techonomics with Jason Middleton starts now.
Welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. For Silicon Valley, the looming headline this week has been the European Union's judgment against Apple and Ireland. The EU wants Apple to pay $14.5 billion worth of fines for not paying what the EU claims is Apple's fair share of corporate taxes. The thing is, Ireland is saying something in a most excellent accent, of course, that's more like bugger off. Apple CEO Tim Cook has fired not one, but two return salvos against the EU, claiming that this EU judgment is a revenue grab from a bureaucratic extra-governmental entity. And the United States Treasury Department agrees with Cook. Why? Well, because that's America's money and it needs to be repatriated. So Apple's tax bill could lead to an active conversation, finally, about corporate tax reform here at home. To help us unpack the implications of the EU's ruling and how it could ripple well beyond Apple into the rest of the tech industry, we have a former governmental regulator, lawyer, and prosecutor. He's now a tax expert, and he's raring to get started.
My name is Stuart Gibson, and I'm the editor of Tax Notes International, a weekly tax publication of tax analysts in Falls Church, Virginia.
Yeah, and Stuart, you're also a frequent contributor to Forbes magazine and Forbes.com as well. You've been following these tax havens, if you will, for quite a while. Let's talk about what happened this week. The EU is looking at a retroactive tax bill for Apple because of its practices and deals with Ireland. Is that a good nutshell?
That is a good way to say it in a nutshell.
Is this a common thing that's happening out of the EU when it comes to this, or is this a line in the sand?
Well, over the last few years, as the tax planning practices of large companies have become public, governments around the world, including ours, have begun to investigate whether the deals have substance and whether they make sense in terms of tax policy in the United States and in terms of competition policy within Europe. And actually, the investigation that resulted in the ruling yesterday grew out of an investigation by the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations back in 2013, where they were looking into Apple's tax structuring.
It seems like repatriation of this overseas revenue might be something that it could be on the agenda, politically speaking.
Tim Cook gave an interview to the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked this question about repatriation because they have about $220 billion in profits that they've earned overseas that have not been taxed in the United States. And he basically said, we're not bringing a dollar back to the United States until Congress reforms the tax code.
Okay. But if they repatriate right now, it's a rather onerous tax rate, isn't it?
They would have to pay 35%. Just like every other company that does business in the United States.
And then you mentioned every other company, which, you know, this is an Apple headline for this week, but we're talking about Microsoft, Google, Cisco, Oracle, and the list goes on of people, multinationals keeping their money overseas because of this tax rate. Is that fair? Let's get into that a little bit. What are we looking at when it comes to all the stuff that's being held overseas, all these resources and revenues?
Well, let's look at the total package, because the total amount of U.S. profits, or I'm sorry, foreign profits that are being held by U.S. multinationals overseas is about $2.3 trillion right now. Apple is one of the largest, and the biggest ones are primarily in the tech field and in pharmaceuticals. They have intellectual property, patents, manufacturing processes, software, those sorts of things, and those are very mobile. And so what you've seen is companies that have their primary assets in what we call non-tangibles or intangibles, they have moved that property into jurisdictions that have either zero taxes or low tax rates. And then what they've done is they've arranged for their U.S.-related companies to buy the right to use those patents, those processes, those computer programs. And so the U.S. company, which is profiting from them, pays money to its subsidiary. For Apple, it was subsidiaries in Ireland. For Microsoft, it's subsidiary in Puerto Rico.
As a tax expert, do you see these repatriation holidays as something that's redemptive for the American economy and the American taxpayer?
Certainly, there is a desire on the part of people who want to advance corporate tax reform and international tax reform in this country to try to reach some sort of a resolution that would provide an incentive to bring some of the money back and then to use the tax revenues to address things like infrastructure.
Right. Yeah, put some strings on that repatriation, and maybe we could get it to work this time. Because you're right, the first repatriation went to a lot of stock buybacks, which leads to executive incomes going up, and a lot of severance packages for employees, frankly, with that repatriation. So you're right, it did not pan out very well last time. But I have a question about Apple this time. If Apple has to pay this $14.5 billion, it's in Ireland, it's with the EU, does that ding the American taxpayer at all?
Well, it's not been decided, but there's been an awful lot written and said about this over the last year or so since the EU started these investigations. I'm not going to weigh in on who wins, but I think a strong case can be made that if Apple has to repay this amount, then it's technically not a tax. Technically, it's a recovery of an illegal subsidy that Ireland provided to it. So the argument against the U.S. taxpayer getting dinged is all they're doing is repaying a subsidy, just as if Ireland had written Apple a check for $14.5 billion over the last 10 years, and then they just had to repay that. But the argument on the other side is if Ireland had not given them these tax rulings starting in 1991, then over the last 10 years, Apple would have paid $14.5 billion more in Irish corporate income tax. That would have been creditable against their U.S. income tax liability, and so they ought to be able to claim a foreign tax credit under the Internal Revenue Code against their other U.S. income tax liability. And if that holds true, then the U.S. Treasury might as well just write a check for $14.5 billion to the Irish Treasury.
Because in layman's terms, if you look at it from Congress's perspective or from the Department of Treasury and Jack Lew, if the EU gets this $14.5 billion, if they basically raid the piggy bank, well, there's nothing for Congress to raid because this is going to cascade.
Letters have been sent to Koch Industries, to Walt Disney Company. This is not going to end anytime soon. And, of course, McDonald's is under investigation as well for the deal that they have with Luxembourg. So you have this confluence of interest between Apple and Ireland. If the money had to be repaid, there's a decent shot it wouldn't come out of Apple's pocket. Ireland would get 13 billion euros, 13.5 billion euros that it desperately needs. Why are they fighting? And so there are very, very deep policy issues at play here. And on this side of the Atlantic, it has to do with whether American businesses can rely on deals they make with foreign governments in Europe and whether they can be overturned retroactively by a supranational unelected body, the European Commission. In Europe, their interest is in maintaining a level playing field for businesses throughout the continent, throughout the what they call the open market, and they want to maintain the integrity of the open market, and they feel it's threatened by sweetheart tax deals. So you have these fundamental national interest issues at play here that kind of set what you would think would be normal economic incentives on their head.
You know, what you call a level playing field here in Silicon Valley, we look at it as a throttling of innovation because the EU, because of its regulations and the bureaucracy involved in innovation and in different economic sectors, has not been able to keep pace with Silicon Valley.
Absolutely true. But here's the fly in the ointment for that argument. Apple structured their business so that they would be able to take advantage of Ireland's 12.5% tax rate, which is almost one-third of what the U.S.'s tax rate is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have an expression. I was a trial lawyer for 35 years, mostly with the U.S. Justice Department. And we used to have an expression that went, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. The deal that they made with Ireland reduced their tax rate to almost zero and transferred most of their income to entities that don't pay tax anyway. So you can see where if you're a tax policymaker or if you're interested in having taxation reflect economic reality, this kind of sticks in your craw. It encourages the creation of artificial structures that distort competition and basically deprive governments of revenue from companies that take full advantage of the privileges of operating and under the protections of those governments.
Well, Stuart, I've kept you longer than I anticipated, but I'm glad we got here. I think we have to agree that somebody's got to look at corporate tax reform sometime soon.
Oh, I agree. I have said for quite a while that tax reform is like the weather. Everyone talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. Maybe now they'll start doing something about it.
Let's seed some clouds and see what we can get in 2017.
That works for me.
Stuart, thank you so much for your expertise and your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Jason.
That was my chat with Stuart Gibson, editor of Tax Notes International. He's also a frequent contributor to Forbes.com. The $14.5 billion the EU wants from Apple is equivalent to one full year of health care for the entire nation of Ireland, by the way. And corporate tax reform has only been vaguely hinted at on the campaign trail this presidential season. Coming up after the break, we look at a way to avoid things like, you know, great recessions with the author of Prosperity for All, How to Prevent Financial Crises. We'll see what he has to say about our faulty economic models. Come on back.